stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we are really glad that you are with us. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, in the previous episode, I mentioned that I wanted to talk next about the Gospel of Romans, the true gospel of the book of Romans. A lot of people don't realize that the gospel was defined and explained in the first two chapters of the book of Romans, primarily chapter 2, starting in halfway through chapter 1 into chapter 2. But yet most people don't even know the book, Kyle. They don't even know the gospel. And the Romans road actually circumvented and cut out the gospel that was first defined, and then instead of using that as the basis for which everything else was later then explained further, they go into these other places, and then they dice with their ninja knives to come up with false teachings to deceive others and to support their continued life of weakness, lack of power, their slavery to sin, and their constant confession of their sins every day because they continue to commit sin and are a slave of sin. Just as Jesus said of those people, they do not get to remain in his house.
Now, people that are regular listeners are going to say, but Brother Sam, you've already done Romans 1 and Romans 2.
Yes. And I'm going to point out clearly here, because it's important to understand the foundation of this and some other things that I didn't talk about previously, but I want to point them out today because it gets right at the heart of it. When people want to go and jump into the book of Romans to explain their faith, and they want to go right into like Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 6, or chapter 5, Romans chapter 7, and, you know, 9 or 10, they don't even understand. Many of the times that they're the things they're talking about. A lot of times they take certain things and then take them out of context and actually claim identity with the old man who's condemned, who has no hope, who's a slave of sin, who's none righteous, no, not one, doesn't understand what he's doing, can't even do any good, but only does evil, only does the fruit and the work of the devil. And yet they want to say that they've been born of the Spirit of God with a new fruit when all they do is continue to do evil and cannot do good.
Now I'm very excited, so let's get into that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and for this opportunity to share your word and the truth. Father, we pray that you bless this word, allow it to spread throughout the world and all the countries that we're reaching, Lord. We pray for everyone that's listening. We ask, O Lord, that you open their ears and their heart, give them wisdom to understand what's being told, and we pray, O Lord, that you use it to change lives forever. You rescue people from the fire. We ask this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, another thing, Kyle, is as I do think about all the other people that are going forth and proclaiming the truth, praise God. I pray for those people. And many of you know who you are. I pray for you, you know, daily. I know Pastor Okanga, we continue to meet with him out in Kenya. He deals with a lot of the rebellion. And, you know, sadly, unfortunately, the last time we just spoke this week, it's just in the days of Christ. Many people are coming, and they're coming because they want to see or see the miracles, right, because of what God's doing through him out in Kenya. And so they want to come and write the awe and the ooh and the amazement and the wonder when God does different healings and miracles and stuff through the power of God. And so they're coming because of that. And yet then after the kingdom of God comes near to them and they see it and they experience it, they don't want to go and get the very thing that God promised, which is the new heart. To bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles. It's such a tragedy, Kyle. You know, it's the same thing like Christ. He would sit there and multiply, you know, the feeding of the 7 and the 5,000. And they'd say, well, you guys are just coming, not because, you know, you want the true knowledge of God, but because you had your bellies filled. He says, work for the food that doesn't perish, and that leads to eternal life.
Amen.
But no, people, they're so focused on the earthly and the tangential and those wonders that they miss the spiritual, supernatural wonder that God wants to do in the heart, that we can then truly do the will of God.
The greatest miracle in a person's life.
And that's the same thing that's one of the struggles that Pastor Okanga has to deal with out in Kenya, is the people would much rather be content with going through their whole life seeing the work of God as if somehow, because they can see the work of God working around them, that maybe that gives them comfort, and maybe somehow then they think they have peace with God. No, you know, you see, and that's many of the people today, Kyle, in churches. They see God working around them to seek to draw them out of darkness and into light. But the people are content with their life, and then they want to argue and say, well, you can't be free from sin. Well, God can't give a perfect heart. He can't make you perfect. And so after they've seen the miracle or the power of God, then they want to argue and say, well, God can't do that. God can't free you from sin. Or they love their life so much, they don't want to be faced with, you mean I truly have to be willing to give up everything? To not pursue and live my life the way I want to live it, but how God wants me to live it? To live for holiness and righteousness and put all the things of God first? Which, Kyle, there's so many people who think they do that in their life and they're deceiving themselves. Just look at the fruit. Look at the sin. They continue to pray and confess their sins every night. They continue to confess with their own mouth that they still are a son of the devil and produce the fruit of the devil and bad fruit. They're a bad tree that still produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. A bad tree cannot produce good.
That's right.
This is all, as God looks at it, people say, oh, I do produce good fruit. This is not in the eyes of God. Every fruit you produce has been rejected until you come and you get a new heart and have been sanctified and cleansed. So Romans chapter 1 and 2. Again, Paul was made an apostle for a purpose that he says in chapter 1, verse 5. What is that purpose?
Chapter 1, verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name.
To bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles. Now, he talks about the gospel and then starts describing it in verse 16 of chapter 1. I love the description of this. What does he say about the gospel in verse 16 to verse 18?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who, by their wickedness, suppress the truth.
And that one also, it's who hold the truth in unrighteousness, or hold the truth in wickedness. You see, the gospel that he's talking about, the gospel has a power. Now again, he's speaking to people, many people who think they know God. But the power of God, this gospel, it's to those who truly believe. The power of God, as it says, the righteousness in this gospel, in verse 17, in the gospel of God, the power of God that is revealed in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith and through faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in it. Now, most people don't understand what that means. You see, the person who now comes to faith, the righteousness of God, the power of God is revealed in their life.
Amen.
No longer a slave to unrighteousness or sin, but now they're a slave to righteousness. They've been set free from the sin and the members, no longer continuing to walk or live in it. Now, this is all defined later as we read in Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8. It explains it all in detail, starting in chapter 6. But he makes the statement here, and here most people don't even understand the context of the statement because they don't know the book of Romans. But we're going to find out much more here because in the first two chapters, he lays out the gospel and who are those who have fellowship with God. And again, the righteous man is now to live by that faith. He's to live in it. The righteousness of God is to be revealed in his life every day as he lives in that faith. Now, somebody who doesn't have the power of God, Kyle, they cannot do that. All they can do is they can continue to live in sin and confess their sin every day and night and somehow thinking they have peace because they've been lied to and deceived by men who said, that's okay, you're always going to sin, just keep confessing your sin. And typically, there's only one verse that they get out of that from the Bible, 1 John 1:9, and they don't even understand that the 1 John, the whole chapter 1, was written to those who are in a church, think they have fellowship with God, but they still struggle and have darkness in their life. He says, these people are liars and the truth is not in them, and tells them what they must do to come into fellowship with God. Now, some people who are listening, they're like, what? I haven't heard this before. Go listen to the episode that we did on 1 John chapter 1 and 2. Please go listen to that. And we go through and we explain it. Now, again, the gospel of God, it's the power, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. The righteousness of God in this gospel is revealed in people who are of true faith, and they live by that faith as they continue to produce the righteousness of God in their life. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness or the wickedness, the unrighteousness of people who are holding on to the truth, but in unrighteousness. They hold to the truth in unrighteousness. You know, much of the Word of God and the instruction of God, where it defines the wrath of God and the judgments, much of it, most of it, all of it that's discussed in the Bible, Old and New Testament, is actually speaking of the judgment of God that's going to come upon those who call themselves Christians, who hold to a form of godliness but have no power, who claim to have fellowship with God but are liars and the truth is not in them. Now, does that mean it's a false statement to say, well, the wrath of God doesn't come upon the atheist? No, the wrath of God comes upon the atheist. The wrath of God comes upon Buddhists and other people who don't worship the one true God. No, the Bible's clear about that. The wrath of God, according to the Bible, it will come upon those people, but that's not who the Bible is mostly written to. It's written to the largest population and audience that it's written to is to those who think they have fellowship with God and are deceived. It all starts back with Moses when they came out of Egypt with Israel, all the masses of the people who thought they had fellowship with God, and God destroys most of them. And again, he continues the cycle all the way to Christ, and then it continues even up to now. But most people don't know that. And so much of the Bible is actually written to those who are holding the truth in falsehood. And yet they're still committing sin because they're a slave of sin and they haven't been yet freed. Now, as we continue to look at this, he's now going to explain more of this, but he talks about these people who are holding fast.
Yeah, the truth. Kateko.
That's right. They're holding fast the truth, but in unrighteousness. That's a problem because you can hold fast the truth, but when you still have an unrighteousness in your life, you're going to have the wrath of God. Now, this is what the gospel is defined in verse 16 to 18. Those who are of faith, the true faith and the righteousness of God is revealed in their life from faith to faith versus those who hold the truth, but still walk and have unrighteousness in their lives. They will get the wrath of God. Now, ironically, as we continue to read through to the end of chapter 2, this theme is going to be explained and reinforced and shown very clearly. The two people. The one group that claims to believe in God and will be destroyed, and then the other group that claims to believe in God that has the new heart, the circumcised heart of the Spirit of God, who is able to do good, who's able to keep and be a doer of the law, they're justified.
Those of good fruit and those of bad fruit will be shown.
That's right. So as you continue, it talks about these people. In verse 21, does it say that they knew God?
Because that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened.
You know, when you go back and you read the story about Israel coming out of Egypt, you see, they knew God. God revealed himself to them. The problem is they didn't honor God as God, and their heart continued to go backwards. And so God destroyed them. Now, we went into great depth into this. I think it was what was the two episodes? It was a part one and a part two. And it was, is your faith based upon truth or lies? I think that's what it was. Is your faith based upon truth or lies? Kyle, that was a very excellent episode. We went through the truth. People convinced that they were a holy people of God. And It's just amazing how people can be so convinced. God actually answers the challenge, shows clearly who was of God and who wasn't, and the people still, after the hand of God supernaturally comes and reveals who are of God and who aren't, by the hand of God himself, they still reject and argue against God Almighty to claim that they are right and they have fellowship. And they were greatly offended by Moses because Moses kept telling them that they were wicked and they couldn't stand it.
People are offended when their sins are pointed out.
And even when God intervened with supernatural, they still rejected the power of God and claimed that Moses was the problem. You know, Kyle, people do it today. And again, for this message, I pray it's a reinforcement and encouragement to those of you who have received a new heart, who are living, and you're probably like, wow, I cannot believe the persecution. People just accuse me and accuse me and accuse me, and they falsely accuse me. Listen, that's how all the people who claim to serve God falsely treated Christ. The Bible doesn't say you aren't going to be persecuted. It says those who are truly in Christ will be persecuted.
Yeah, welcome to the promise.
By the very ones who claim to be servants of God.
That's right.
So here, these people who are holding the truth and unrighteousness, they knew God, but they did not honor God. Now, they didn't know him from the standpoint of had true fellowship. They knew him from the context of having knowledge, you know, the wisdom of men knew God. God revealed himself to them, but oh no, we're wise. No, you see, we're wise. We know what we're talking about. We know what we're talking about. We're right. Now, they're fools. The next episode we're going to do 1 Corinthians, and we're going to get into this, the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world, and this struggle in the Corinthian church where you had all these people who thought they were serving God, and he goes on and says, nah, you guys are arrogant, you're boastful, you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't know him. And then after he addresses that group of people, then the second group of people he talks about are those who have a faith, but he says, your faith is vain, it's empty, it can't save you. And this was the group of the Corinthians at the church who said there was no resurrection of the dead. That's right, but yet many people want to be like the Corinthian church because they're ignorant and they don't know their Bible. They don't know their Bible. They know the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, about the infants. Oh yeah, the ones that are carnal, that don't have the Spirit of God, that have jealousy and strife. Oh, the wisdom that's demonic and not of God that James chapter 3 talks about. The people after chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, it just talked about there's two types of people. There's the spiritual man that has the Spirit of God, knows the thoughts of God, and then there's the natural man that still is excluded, is foolish, and in darkness. And people keep wanting to be that person because that's the only way, Kyle, they can justify their continued life of sin, because they won't trust and believe in the power of God, and God wants to free us.
Avoid those people, folks.
People, they profess to be wise, they become a fool, and in the end, they end up serving creation. They serve creation. So God will give them over to the desires of their heart. They'll continue to sin. Not only that, some, as it continues in verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator. Kyle, you know how many people who claim to be Christians, and you look and you examine their life? They don't serve God. They serve the world. They serve all that's created, all the desires and the lusts and the pleasures that they go and they chase. They chase, they chase, they chase. They live a life of idolatry, and yet they think because they I read my Bible here and I went to Sunday here. So you're still a slave of sin. You can't overcome that. The desires of the things of the world still wage war in your heart. You stop deceiving yourself. Some people go into deeper depravity. And what does he say happens to these people in verse 26 and 27?
For this cause, God gave them up unto vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another man. Men with men, working unseemliness and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due.
And so here you have homosexuality. Now, homosexuality is just another sin. It's another sin that God says he gives into further depravity, but it's still sin. Sin is sin. The problem is the heart. You don't get a new heart. You continue to say that you have peace with God. No, you can't do that. You'll fall deeper into depravity. And there's different levels. And yet people say, I'm not that person, so I have peace with God. No, you don't understand. Do you still have sin in your heart, your thoughts, anger of man,
murder,
greed, envy,
strife, slander, pridefulness?
Idolaters.
Okay, then. Yep. Then you still have a bad heart. You don't have peace with God.
Moral relativism.
So it says these people are filled with all unrighteousness. In verse 29, they have wickedness, greed, evil, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slander, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And people say, oh, I'm not that person. I say, how are you examining yourself? You see, when God looks at someone, even when God looks at a baby born into the world, that's how God sees the person, because God sees the heart. And that, Kyle, people, that's the biggest issue. People don't understand the heart, and they think that all of a sudden they do one act, one good deed, and they go to church and they pray and they're remorseful, and because they don't want to do it, therefore they're different. No, the fact that you do it is indication that it's in your heart. It lives within you. It lives within you. You are defiled and rejected by God until you come in humility and God changes you. But you have to come in faith without doubting, complete faith. Now, this is where we get in to the who actually enters the kingdom of heaven and who doesn't. And he really digs in and exposes these hypocrites who hold the truth, but in unrighteousness. Because remember, we believe in God. Well, you shouldn't be doing that sin. Well, you shouldn't be doing that sin. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse. Every one of you who passes judgment. Now, Kyle, most people will stop right there. They'll stop. Oh, you're judging. Oh, you see, you can't judge. You're without excuse. You're judging. Well, I tell people, can you please at least read like a couple verses to at least get the context of some verses? I'd prefer you read the whole chapter or the book, but at least read a few verses. You see, Kyle, they aren't without excuse because they're judging. They're without excuse because these people who are judging
practice the same things.
Ah, they practice the same thing. You see, that's why they condemn themselves, Kyle, because they're a sinner just like the other sinners. They're saying, oh, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. Okay, but it doesn't matter. You do the same things. You see, sin dwells in the heart. It's in the thought. Well, I'm not physically murdering anybody. Oh, well, good for you. God says murder is to have the anger of man in the heart. You have the anger of man in your heart. You cannot achieve the righteousness of God. You still have to go to God and in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. That's James chapter 1, verse 19, I think, to 22. But these people are deceived. They were hearers of the word and not doers. And you know what? That's going to come up again. Those who deceive themselves. So these people, they condemned because they still sin. They still sin. It doesn't matter that they're passing judgment on those who practice those things. It's like God's like saying, so you think because you speak against sin, you think because you're against sin, you speak against sin, you speak against other people who are sinning, that somehow that's going to let you have peace with God? He says, do you not know that the judgment of God, when you do the same thing, that how will you escape the judgment of God? He says, when you do the same thing, again, God looks at the heart. It's all in the heart. Oh, well, I'm not an adulterer. Do you have lustful thoughts in your heart? Okay, Jesus already said you're an adulterer. We covered that in the episode of The New Heart, what Jesus taught in the Gospels. Then you cannot escape the judgment of God. If you still sin, then you cannot and have not escaped the judgment of God. Remember, the one who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave doesn't get to remain in the house. Jesus taught that. We covered that in the previous episode we just did about those who want to accuse you of forsaking the fellowship of the brethren or having, they want you to go and have false fellowship and not true fellowship. Cover that in John chapter 8. But he tells us, you see, the true riches and kindness of God, those who have truly and truly know the kindness of God, Kyle, what does that do in someone's life starting in verse 4?
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?
You see, Kyle, it's about repentance. Somebody who repents doesn't continue to do and live in sin. They've been freed. People say, oh, well, I don't live in it. I said, do you continue to confess every day? Well, you see, the fact that you confess, the source isn't the actual behavior. The source is the heart. Until you get a new heart, the source still lives in there. And it's not the outward action that God judges. God judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So until you get a new heart, you're a walking sinner. Sin lives and dwells within you. That was the problem with a man who's condemned in Romans chapter 7, verse 13 to 25, because he didn't have the new heart. Sin still dwelt within him, which is what God was answering the rhetorical question as Paul was explaining that it's not the law that's the cause of your death. It's sin that is the cause of your death. It's the sin as a proof that still dwells in you as evidence that even though you don't want to do it, you still do it and you can't stop doing it because you're a slave and the members of your body are slaves to the prisoner of sin that dwells within you.
Amen.
And people want to identify themselves with that man saying, well, this is Paul. He was a Christian. I says, no, Paul was answering the questions to explain the different natures of men and how when you are that person's condemned. You don't want to be that person. But because they don't read the whole Bible, Kyle, they don't even know the truth. They jump in midstream to a, and that's typically most people do. They jump in midstream into a passage. They latch onto the passage. That's the powerless man, the man who has not been regenerated or redeemed or born again, and they condemn themselves when they quote such things. Their own mouth condemns them. So the true person who's come to the kindness and the patience of God, it's lead them to repentance. We know that the repentance is from the heart. We see that when we get to the end of chapter 2. But he's going to focus and tell us who are the ones that have eternal life. People like to go straight to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was like, that's a true statement. But now you need to understand how it's applied in context. You see, people want to say, oh, it's a free gift. No, the wages of sin is death. You still commit sin, you're still under the wrath of God. You still commit sin, you're still under the wrath of God. The wages of sin is death. Now, the free gift of God, God doesn't charge for it. This is the person who's come to righteousness, who's experienced the power of God. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Those who receive the free gift, but in faith, being transformed, freed from sin. Oh, God can't free you from sin. Well, there you go. You don't have faith. That's why you don't have the power of God. You're still holding to truth and unrighteousness. You're the other man who falsely claims to know God that we talked about in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. That's condemned. Who we're repeating it again in chapter 2 is condemned. Doesn't know what repentance is. Cannot repent because their faith denies the power of God. And I'm bringing this up because there are so many of those. Well, I say many. There's few, right? It's always been the few. The few of those who seek God that have the new heart. But out of those few, many of those few experience the same persecution and the same lies against all these false servants of God who want to be hostile to them. So this is for encouragement to you. Don't listen. Don't argue with the people that want to come and argue with you. If they want to reject the truth, if they want to reject your testimony of you and how God has transformed your life and freed you from sin and your thoughts, then that's fine. God tells us, and Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 10, if they reject you, they reject Christ, and they reject God. Dust, shake the dust off your feet and move on. If these people, the foolish people, as Paul warns against, God's word warns against in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 6, they want to wrangle and quarrel about words. They want to ask controversial questions. They have no knowledge of God. They have a deathly interest in those things. Avoid those people. Don't. They aren't humble. Move on to the person that God has humbled the heart and is willing to listen.
Amen.
Don't get trapped into the fight that the devil wants you to get warred into. Don't do it. For other people who have a bad heart that are listening, I pray that you're listening to God's word and it's going to convict you here of what the true gospel is. Now we're going to find out who truly inherits eternal life. Chapter 2, and I think you read verse 4 and 5, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, God is going to judge us, each one of us, according to our deeds. One group is going to get one eternal life. The other group is going to get the wrath and indignation of God. Who are the two groups and who receives what in verse 7 and 8 of Romans chapter 2?
To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek.
That's right. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew and also the Greek or the Gentile. So here you have the principle. God is going to judge according to your deeds. It's the same thing in the New Testament, same as the Old Testament. The problem is whether or not you have the deeds or the fruit of righteousness in your life that comes through faith. The question is, are you the righteous man that lives by faith and the righteousness of God through the power of God of the gospel is being demonstrated in your life? Or are you the person who's deceived, holds to the truth and unrighteousness? You hold to the truth, but unrighteousness. You don't have the righteousness of God. It's not produced in your life from faith to faith as the righteousness of God is revealed, because you still produce bad fruit. Those who persevere in doing good and seek glory, honor, and immortality, they are the ones that receive eternal life. But if you're factitious, argumentative, and that's what people are. I tell you, people say, I'm not factitious. Until somebody comes and speaks the true words of God, then they want to argue and dispute about words and ask controversial questions. Because they can't use the word of God. They have to pull out fragments. They can't go through the word of God and teach. I was talking to somebody the other day who wanted to say, oh, no, that's not what the word of God says. And the person says, well, I just went through this evening and I prayed and I meditated and I went through the following books in their entirety. They went through 1 Peter, 2 Peter, the book of 1 John, the book of Titus. And they said, no, I went through from beginning to end. It's consistent. This is the message. And of course, the person that wants to rail and accuse them hasn't even cracked their book, hasn't even looked through a single book. They accuse in falsehood. Shake the dust off of your feet and move on from those people. They're accursed and condemned until they come in humility. They can't even use the word of God in truth. They don't even know it. Shame on them. And they want to judge the servant of God, who God has transformed their heart, who meditates on God's word day and night. He now tells us there's no partiality. There's no partiality with God. You're a sinner. You're still a sinner. Whether you have the law or you do not have the law, you will perish. It's very clear. God established that in verse 11 through 12. But who are those that are going to be justified before God, Kyle? Who are the ones that are going to be justified in verse 13?
Those that both hear and do the word of God shall be justified.
It is the hearers of the law that will be just before God. I'm sorry, it is not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but it's the doers of the law will be justified. It's the doers. If you're a hearer, you're a forgetful hearer. You deceive yourself. But if you're a doer of the law, you will be justified. Now, see, a doer of the law is different from works of the law. The Bible, as it goes through and defines works of the law, when you get into it later in Romans chapter 4 or in Galatians, the book of Galatians, it's referring to those people who don't have the Spirit of God and they seek to honor God, and all they can do to honor God is its external rules, works of the law written down on tablets of stone. It's external. It's not in the heart. They haven't been changed. These people cannot overcome. They want to, but their obedience and their seeking of God is through external behavior, not of the heart. That's works of the law. They aren't a doer of the law. They still sin every night. But the one who has received the new heart, he fulfills the law. He's the doer of the law. This man is justified before God. Now, ironically, these Gentiles, the Gentiles have the law?
For when Gentiles that have not the law do by nature the things of the law, these not having the law are the law unto themselves.
Now, that's interesting. These Gentiles who did not have the law, they were a doer of the law.
That's right.
They were a doer of the law, but they didn't have the law. How are they a doer of the law? Well, they had a new heart. It was written in their heart.
That's right. Verse 15, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness therewith, and their thoughts one with another, accusing or else excusing them.
That's right. And so when you get the new heart, you'll be able to be a doer of the law. And that's what people don't understand. Then from chapter 17 on, he talks about the people who, again, these same people who claim to have fellowship with God. It's basically, he says Jew, but it's no different than the Jew at the time was somebody who claimed to have a sincere faith in God, and God says, no, I reject you. You aren't of me. Today, Kyle, that's the people, the massive group of all these people who call themselves Christians, okay? It's no different. And these are the people who are not doers of the law, they're hearers. These are people who are still a slave of sin. These are the people who hold the truth of God, but in unrighteousness. These people rely and boast in God. They rely upon the scripture. They're confident in the scripture. They're confident that they're in light, that they're a guide to the blind. They're confident that they're a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature. They're confident that in the word of God, the scripture, they have all the embodiment of knowledge and the truth. They go around and they tell others, but you shouldn't steal. You shouldn't commit adultery. Oh, gee, do you? God looks at the heart. Do you commit adultery in the heart? Do you have lustful thoughts? Do you have envy or anger in the heart? Oh, you still commit murder. That you still carry around the sin in your heart. It doesn't matter if it's not external. God judges the heart. These people, they boast in scripture. But God says, through your breaking the scripture, do you not dishonor God? The name of God is blasphemed among you. In verse 24, you see,
Indeed, circumcision is a value, or these people who claim to be Christianity. It's a value if they practice the law. But you see, they don't. They're a transgressor. They sin against the law. The law is not written in their heart. They don't fulfill the law. They break the law. Romans, as you keep reading in chapter 3, he says in Romans, I think it's at the end of chapter 3, he says in verse 31, do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish it. Later in Romans chapter 13, he talks about those who fulfill the law by loving your neighbor as yourself. He goes on and says, because you don't sin against them. But yet people continue to be a slave of sin. They continue to confess their sins every night, and they think they have the love of God in them. You don't have the love of God in them. The love of God only produces one kind of fruit. The love of God doesn't sin against the neighbor. The love of God is the power of God to overcome because it gives you a new heart. But no. But if the uncircumcised or the person who's not a Christian in verse 26, if they keep the requirement of the law, if they keep it, keep the requirement of the law, will not their uncircumcision or their non-Christianity be reckoned to them or imputed to them as circumcision? You see, it all comes down to those who are able to keep the law in verse 27 are going to judge those who, even though have the scripture and everything in their hand, continue to transgress against it because they can't stop sinning. So who's the true Jew? Who's the true Christian? Not one who is outwardly. And the true circumcision or the mark or the seal of God is not that which is an outward. No, the one who's a true Jew in verse 29 or a true Christian is what?
Is one who... Well, let me read the whole thing. But he is a true Jew who was one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
There you go. And you see, that is the gospel. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. He splits in contrast the two people who claim to have fellowship with God. Those that hold the truth in true faith and are doers of the law that are justified before God, who have the new heart by the Spirit of God and the power of God and are able to be a doer of the law and fulfill it versus those who hold the truth in falsehood, and yet claim to know God and have fellowship, but still sin. They're still lawbreakers. And as you continue to go through the rest, he then talks about explaining the different concerns and all the rhetorical questions that are asked starting in chapter 3, verse 1 onward. So with that, why don't we pray? Father, I thank you, Father, that you are the one, O God. It's all about faith and what we believe and what you require, O God, and the work that you do. Sadly, there's many people who do not believe in the power of God. Sadly, there's many people who hold to the truth, but in falsehood, and they continue to live unrighteous lives, and they cannot overcome the sin in their life. The sin that they confess with their mouth every night when they go to bed, confessing and acknowledging that they continue to do the will of the devil and the fruit of the devil in their life, but yet they think they serve God. They think they can serve two masters. And they're so deluded and deceived. They think that, oh no, that's not me. I do serve God. No one can be perfect. And they deny the power of God in their life. Father, I pray that you convict those people. I pray, oh God, that you free them, just as you freed me from that lie and that deception, that you free them, that they humble themselves and submit to your word, oh God, in truth. And they let the word of God and the power of God free them from the sin through which they previously could not be freed from. Father, I pray for those who have the new heart. Father, continue to strengthen them, O God, by your Spirit. Give them your wisdom and strength, O God, as they continue to stand up against the lies of the false Christians and the persecutions of this false church against them. But we know, O God, that you are with the righteous. You are a shield and our strength. And we have a hope that we are eagerly awaiting for that hope of salvation to be revealed in the last day at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.